Let us pray. O wisdom divine, grant us your knowledge and discernment so that we can learn how to be clever in our compassion and courageous in our faith through Christ and in the Spirit. Amen. Scripture reading this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. This can be found on page 1011 in the Pew Bible if you would like to follow along. Better the poor whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. Desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? A person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading is from the first letter to John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and you found on page 1902 of your Pew Bible. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is from God is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them, but we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, help us today to choose well. Help us to distinguish between your spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood that is all around us. Lord, we know that you are giving us wisdom each and every day. Lord, grant me the wisdom to share your word today and your spirit to guide me through this sermon. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. What did the bald man say when he was given a comb for Christmas? I'll never part with it. Son says, I've been to the barber's. I've just been to the barber's. Dad says, what for? An estimate? It's very questionable whether I chose well from this book this morning. And today we're going to talk about choosing well, because when you go into the grocery store, right, and you're armed with your very specific list, right, and the first thing you do is you grab your cart, you got your list, you hit the produce section, and you go, all right, I need some apples. All right, whoa. There are 7,000 different types of apples. Okay, I'm exaggerating. There are lots of apples at the produce section. Am I not right? Am I not right? Tons of apples. And you go in there and you go, oh my gosh. All right, do I like Honeycrisp? Do I want some Gala today? Red Delicious? Man, what am I feeling like today? How do I choose between that? And then you get to the cereal aisle and there's literally an entire aisle of just cereal. Just cereal. And you go, oh no, what do I do? Then there's cuts of meat, right? And then there's wheat or whole grain bread. Then there's the fat content of your milk. And then you just got to decide between the many options of strawberry yogurt. don't know. It's all good, right? So when you find yourself in this situation, having to choose between similar options, what do you do? Now, many people will choose by their personal preference, right? I like Honeycrisp better than Gala apples, my specific taste. I like Coke better than Pepsi. Maybe you choose according to your diet. This one has fewer calories or carbs than this one. But maybe it's all about price for you. Maybe you always start at the bottom shelf. Maybe you think, who needs Lucky Charms when you can have the big bag of marshmallow mateys for $2.99? Because they taste the same, right? And I'm getting a lot of marshmallow mateys. Now, probably for a lot of us, it's a little of all three, right? We're considering all those things together. But regardless, the process of actually making a decision can be very overwhelming, especially when you're confronted with shelf after shelf of the same thing. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the grocery store finding myself trying to read the labels, making sure this is the actual thing I need. Ann is very good with giving me the list. She'll say, Gray, this is what I need, and it's my day off, and I go, I'm going to go grocery shopping, babe. I got this. And then I get to the store, and I go, okay, she said canned tomatoes. What's the difference between crushed and diced tomatoes? I mean, really, is there a difference? I mean, really? I mean, sure, right? And I have to call her 5 times while I'm shopping, and I think, babe, is this exactly what you want? And I'm always second-guessing myself. Am I making the right choice? Am I choosing well? Am I going to have to back when I get home because, Gray, what were you thinking? I need it crushed, not diced. This is most of life, people. This is life. Sure, there's going to be choices that we all have to make, right? Choices between good and evil. I get that. We all are in the world. We know there's good and evil, right? Where the boundary is clear. This is the good decision to make. This is the wrong decision to make. And it's clear from the beginning to the end. And you know it's never easy, but you often know the right choice to make, even if you always don't make that choice. Right? Because oftentimes what happens is we know between right and wrong, and we still choose wrong. That's what Paul was saying about, I don't do what I think I should be doing. I constantly do the wrong thing. Should I grab the Jumbo Reese's cup as I'm walking out the store or not? And I do, every time. And I'm not talking, what I'm talking about today are the tough decisions between similar options. Between two worthy uses of your time and energy. Maybe it's a career path. Maybe it's treatment for cancer. Maybe it's where you should live or whose side to take. How do you decide rightly what path to walk down? How do you discern which way you should go? Every time I think about these situations, right, I always think that I wish when I'm in a situation where I had two really good options and I don't know which way to go, I wish it was kind of like when you go to the gas station, right, and you're like, man, it's hot outside, I just want a slushie, you know? And you go, I love slushies, and I love Coke, and I love strawberry or cherry. And guess what? I can get both. A little bit of cherry, a little bit of Coke, a little bit of cherry, a little bit of Coke, and we're having a good day. Guess what I can't do when I'm making tough decisions in my life? I can't say I want a little bit of this, a little bit of that. That's not happening. So we have to make a decision. How do we figure it out? because I don't always want to suffer the consequences of either decision. Because I know there's going to be. And I know it's going to be hard either way I choose, even if they're both options that might be good for my life. Now, in the Christian world, we often hear people talking about the word discernment, the big word discernment, when faced with a difficult choice like this. In this context, discernment means calling on God to lead you and guide you and making a decision. It's the acknowledgement that you might not always know the right way. That you need to be humble. That you need to be open enough to encounter what God's will is for your life. Because on this point, Proverbs is pretty clear. Be careful about hasty decisions. Proverbs says, a person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord. In our impatience, in our arrogance, we often fail to call on God, and instead we choose poorly, missing God's way for our lives. But this is the hardest part, which is, how do we know what God's will is for our lives? Because last time I checked, none of us has God's phone number. There's no overwhelming spotlights that often happen in our world where God shines and says, hey, do this. Take that job. Love this person. Get this surgery. The bright path is rarely obvious. This is why I'm always leery of pastors, by the way, who always claim that it's God's will when they have a decision that they want to make for the church. Oh, you know, if I walked in here and I said, you know, hey, bud, it's God's will that I get a $10,000 raise. Prove it. Well, God talked to me last night. You know what, Melody? You know, I'm really thinking about, I need to get the word out. And Pastor Gray could really get the word out quick if I had a private jet. God told me in a dream last night. God told me. It's God's will. Don't question it. Right? Get real sketchy when stuff like that starts happening, right? So it's good to start asking questions. What does it mean for God to have a will for our lives? How do we know what God's will is for our lives? How do we know when someone says, I think this is God's will working my life, that it's true? Or that we're feeling that it's true for our lives? This is where 1 John helps us. John talks about testing the spirits. And by this, the writer is telling us to prayerfully ask questions before we make a decision. Questions like, how does this decision help you live into the gospel of Christ? Is this decision that you're about to make governed by the love Christ has shown for us? And does this decision build you up as a person and also build up the people around you as opposed to tearing them down? Now, these are questions of how we test whether the path we're walking is the truth, whether it's God's way or falsehood. These are questions that we should be considering in our minds constantly when making any decision. Does it bring love and healing? Is Christ glorified through it? Because let me tell you, a lot of decisions I make every day would not survive these questions. I make a lot of decisions based on my own ego, my own arrogance, And I think that I should be considering these questions more, and I think all of us should be. And this testing that we need to do for these decisions does not end with after we make the decision. We keep testing it because it's hard at times to distinguish between our ego and God's will. That's why if I'm asking for a $10,000 raise next year, bud, you might go, Greg, you might want to start asking some questions of yourself. What's up? Why do you need that private jet? Melody says to me. We need to constantly keep ourselves in check. This is true for pastors. This is true for all of us. We might make a decision. And 6 months in, it felt like the right decision, but certain things aren't going as right as we thought. We need to continue to test. If I had come to this church and we started and things were going good and I was an interim pastor, but my wife or my friends were saying, Greg, I don't know, something's not right, something's not feeling right. I start asking questions. I start testing the spirits to see if this is what God has called me to do. And I was thankful that when I tested the spirits in this place, y'all said yeah, and I said yeah. But it's continued to test. Now, what are some other ways that you can test whether a decision is God's will for your life? Maybe use your gut. That's what happened when I came to this place. I walked to the sanctuary after talking with Dick and Scott and Shirley, and I said, something's right here. God's called me to this place. But even your gut can fail you at times, right? Maybe you call on your close friends to talk you through it. Perhaps you sit with a decision for a couple of days before you make it and pray on to make sure that it still feels right or to wait for some clarity. Maybe you go for a walk. However you do it, just remember that discernment, choosing, is a gift from God. Don't waste it. Don't be too hasty in your decision making just to get it done with. Give the Spirit time to work on it with you. Listen and pray and allow God to nudge you and maybe sometimes drag you to where God wants you to go to make the decisions God is calling you to make. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.